In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The Gospel of Luke opens up saying that now it happened the day after. The day after what? The day after the Lord Jesus Christ cured the centurion's servant. How did he effect this cure? The centurion said to the Lord, "Lord, I am not fit that you would go under the roof of my house, but say a word, and my servant will be healed. I too am a man of authority. I tell the troops, go here, they go there. I tell the troops, come here, they come here." He knew who he was talking to. And he was someone who, because you may or may not know this, there's more than one kind of a Jew. There's a Jewish Jew. That means mother and father are Jewish. Now, lineage today is by the mother. If you want to know who a Jew is, you have to have a person who has a Jewish mother. And that's because of all of the rapes that took place over all of the years when the Jews were conquered and moved from one place to another. So the father could have been anybody. You don't know who the father is. By the way, in one of the great works of literature, written by Ibsen, he won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Saul, who is the protagonist in The Master Builder, he always says, a father always wonders if he is the father, but a mother always knows that she is the mother. She sees the child come out. The father doesn't know if there was someone in ahead of him. We do today because of DNA, but he's speaking 150 years ago. So I'm saying this because in the old days, a Jew was a Jew, a father and mother a Jew. Then there was the what they called the convert. We would call him a convert. Today they call him a proselyte. A proselyte was somebody that loved the Jews, and he was somebody that, like Ruth, who was from Moab, she said to Naomi, "You're my mother. You're my real mother. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Not just you are going to be in my family. Not just I'm a member of your family, but you are going to be my people." That's what essentially I have done in the Coptic Orthodox Church. I said, "You will be my people. We will eat together, we will worship together, we will cry together, we will be joyous together, we will worship God together. I don't have one drop of Egyptian blood in me. I have a few drops of Egyptian blood on me because of fights that were in the house, but that's another story." I say these things partially in jest because I understand what it means deeply, deeply. To want to belong to something and have some impediments. Do you know why this centurion could not become a Jew? Because he would then have to have been circumcised. And all of the combat that took place in military was done without clothing. You don't want to tear your clothes. All of the athletic events were done without clothing, so they could see who a Jew was. Women, by the way, if they saw one of these events, were put to death. If a woman tried to sneak in and wear men's clothing and watch what was going on, if she was found out, she'd be put to death. So it was only men. And you could tell who the Jew was or who the Gentile was by circumcision. If he had circumcised himself after the rite of Abraham and become a Jew, everybody would have seen what he had committed himself to. He would have lost his commission. He could no longer be a centurion. But he loved the Jewish nation and the people, and he built for them a synagogue. Imagine that. Imagine if Governor Moonbeam built us a church. Might change my vote. No, it wouldn't. Okay. I'd be suspicious.
I don't like politicians. I think politicians, no matter who they are, the most corrupt group of people in the world. My wife told me, and I know all of you know about the terrorism that took place in Upper Egypt in Minya. And there was apparently a show of force after the terrorists left. The government rolled in with a lot of military after the terrorists had left. Right? We love you after the terrorists are gone. We're not going to protect you, but we're going to extend our sympathies. Governments. It doesn't matter what government we're talking about. We could be talking about Italy. We could be talking about Germany. Governments don't have your best interests at heart. If they did, they would be unpaid individuals who would do it for free. So, getting back to this centurion was something very special. He was honest, completely honest. He had zeal. He wanted to be with God, and he knew that the Jews were the way in which, at that time, in his world, would be the conduit to knowing God. They were the ones that had the Bible. They had the scripture. Look at the end after Jesus has raised this young man from the dead, and the people say, a great prophet has risen up amongst us. Who was the prophet that did it before? Remember the woman and her son who were about to die? And then the prophet came, and she said, oh, I'm just going to make a couple little cakes for me and my son and use up the last of the grain and the last of the oil. And he said, make one for me too, please. And then the oil, it never ran out. And the grain, it never ran out. But then something terrible happened, right? What happened? Her son died. Why am I living with myself? You know, there is not one parent that wants to live longer than their child. You don't want to survive your child's death. It's so painful, so hard. And it doesn't matter right now if we're talking about a physical death or a spiritual death. You don't want to survive that. What does it say in the Agabeah that St. Mary was to have said? Behold, my bowels are ablaze. I'm on fire in my stomach when I behold your crucifixion. You know, we don't want that. We don't want that. But then the prophet, he lay himself upon the child as I am standing before you. He put his body on top of the child and extended out his arms. And life returned to the child. So they knew. And the centurion knew. And he knew it better than the Jews. Because he was risking everything. You know, if you are going to associate with a group that is on the margin, some group that is not really having any kind of power or authority or autonomy to direct its own vision of the future, they say, why are you with those people? His friends would notice. The other centurions would notice. The commanders above him would notice. He didn't care. What a great man. What a truly great man. To go into something for exactly the right reason. Not the wrong reason. The right reason. So, the Lord sees this woman. Now, it's a very sympathetic picture that is drawn here, isn't it? If the woman has no husband, who is going to support her? I'm sorry, but I have to laugh at the two of you. I don't even know your names. Turn around and take a look at the last row here. Everybody, turn around. Turn around and take a look at the very last row. There's a man and a woman sitting together. Now, I imagine you've been married for quite a while. No? You just got married? What?
5 years.
Well, okay, so that hurts my example, because I thought most people that have been married for a long time don't want to sit next to each other. Once you've been with somebody for so long, you go, no, over there's a good spot for you, sweetheart, you know. Well, Mabruk. And it pleases me to see people who are my age. I'm almost 72. I'm not going to ask you your age. But it pleases me to see people who still want to do what you guys are doing. And keep your minds nice, okay? Now, this woman, however, her husband was gone. And her son, who would be the next in line to support her and take care of her in her old age, now he was gone. It's a tragic kind of a thing. She is essentially destined to a life of poverty and misery and want and begging. Her dignity would be the first thing to go, along with the joy of her heart. Do you know, there are tribes in amongst the Indians of the Southwest, like the Chiricahuas or the Navajos, or when a mother's son would die, she would cut off a finger. And in those days of not having any prenatal care, of only having a midwife for the delivery and not having child care, and lots of children died, there would be women that wouldn't have fingers on one hand. And it was to show that anyone who saw such a woman was to give generously because of what had happened to her and what the promise for her comfort and her security in her old age would have been. And there's lots of traditions and amongst all kinds of primitive peoples that have the same effect. But when Jesus saw this, he came and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." He didn't have to speak. You imagine that the servant who was at the point of death in the centurion's house heard Jesus speak? Well, maybe he did, but it was a spiritual thing. It was not something that he heard his actual physical voice. Jesus did not need to speak. He could have willed it silently. And he did not need to touch the coffin. What is the meaning of "he touched the coffin"? To know that the body of Christ is going to be very beneficial to anyone who has only the appearance of life and not real life. I said this to you before, and it's something that I heard. Jesus did not come to the earth to make bad people good. Jesus came to earth to make dead people alive. Now, everybody who has had a benefit such as this young man experienced does die. Lazarus died, was resurrected. Lazarus died again as a bishop. Everyone who was raised, Tabitha, the little girl, she died again. But only the physical, not in reality. In reality, she lives forever. How does that comport for you and me? We come to the altar and we take the real body and the real blood of Jesus Christ, and we have life everlasting. Not apparent life. I'm going to die. This, whatever you see, this is in front of you. And I'm sorry you have to look at it, but this is what it is. And it's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. But the me that is inside, is forever. So if we wind up in the same place, I'm sorry for you again. joking, of course. The glory of God will encompass all of us, will suffuse us. All that we will be giving out is the things that the angels who surround him now are giving out. Praise and glory and honor and worship. And their joy is unspeakable and immeasurable, as will ours be.
I heard in the radio about how some poor people in Calcutta, they go to this giant statue of the destroyer, whose name is Kali. Kali, the destroyer. Kali used to send out a group of, you know the word assassin? Have you heard the word assassin? It comes from hashishin. They smoked hashish and then they went out to murder. It comes from that. And the poor people, especially the poor, because rich people can kind of buy favors, can't they? If you're really rich, you can go to somebody and you can get stuff done for you. You've got a way. But a poor person is really squeezed. And they will, the money that they can barely scrape together, they offer so that they can see just for a few seconds to be in front of this statue, and then they're pushed on. And there's a crowd going through there all the time. This is not what we experience. When we have Christ inside us, he is inside us. And we can use that. Have you ever been on a bus or a plane or something like that, and you're sitting next to somebody and you don't talk to them? Because they're a stranger. Who are you sitting next to? Who are you sitting next to? It could be somebody great. It could be somebody that if you opened your mouth, if you weren't afraid, if you shared a little bit of yourself, you might find that it's given back to you 10 times more. You might find that when you're being spoken to by this person, that your trip becomes so much shorter. And you go, wow, that was a great flight, or a bus trip or something like that. I'm not talking about elevators. You don't need to start a conversation in an elevator unless you're in the Empire State Building. But we may have a conversation, if we choose to, as soon as we take communion. God will be inside you. You don't have to look up. You can look at your belly. Lord is inside me. I may speak every word, every intimate thought, without danger. I may speak everything to him. I may open up. He's the one who really loves me. Loves me so much he died for me. And for you as well. For all mankind. Even those who reject him. There are some people who take communion and then they go out and the only thing they do is they blab to their neighbor. Abuna Luis de Rose in Torrance, Church of Abraham, he wrote a book about people that he thought were living saints, and one of them was a guy named Baba Sadak. If you've read his book, then you know the name Baba Sadak. Baba Sadak wanted to be a monk, but his father died and he had to take care of his mother and sisters. His sisters didn't marry, so he had to continue to take care of them his whole life. So he didn't get to do what he wanted to do. So he worked and he supported his mother and his sisters until the day of his departure. When he would take communion, he would stand at the side altar and he would stare at the table, trapeza. He would stare at the table where the body and the blood of the Lord were on, and he would not take his eyes off of it. And when he received communion, he would leave the church immediately. Some people thought he had a devil. He would not say hello, goodbye, he wouldn't say anything. He just left. He went into his own apartment, closed the door, locked the door, and was there alone with God for 9 hours. You can read about it in the book. I'm sure Abuna Lua has copies. This wasn't a bestseller. Baba Sadak.
You have that opportunity. You take communion. The Lord touched, as I'm touching now, the Mangalaya. He put his hand like this. Son, arise. He's saying that to all of you. My sons, my daughters, arise. Arise inside. Think great thoughts. Lofty thoughts. Not thoughts of this world. Not how do I look? What are my clothes like? How is my hair today? What kind of car do I have? Is it polished? No, 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 no. Is New England going to beat Green Bay? That was a secret. Laugh at me. We can have great thoughts with the Lord. The people that were standing around after they saw the young man arise, it's written that fear came on all of them. Why would there be fear? Because they had to stop and think, what is my relationship to God? You know, they said they were afraid to say the name God. They were afraid to say the name Messiah. They said prophet, great prophet. Right? The centurion knew. All you know. All of you, every one of you know. Even I venture to say the babies in the church, the little noisemakers, they know. They know who God is. They are not deceived. And if they could speak, and this is why I don't silence babies in the church, by the way, because maybe they are speaking. I don't understand baby. It just sounds like yelling to me and crying. But maybe they're saying with what they have, and in their amplified voice, they're praising God. So let them praise while they can. And let all of us do the same. Glory be to God, both now and ever, and in the age of all ages. Amen.